The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The crowd came together again, so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. When I was in seminary, I spent a summer in Costa Rica studying Spanish. And while I was there on Sundays, I would attend different Episcopal churches around San Jose, the capital city where I was living. When I was visiting one church, the Church of the Ascension, the rector there told me this amazing story. He said that one day a small group of women came and knocked on the door of the church, which is located right in the heart of this big, busy city. These women explained that they were looking for a place in town to stay the night. They were HIV positive, and every week they had to come into town from the rural areas to receive life-saving treatment. The cost of this medical treatment plus the cost of travel was already high, and then on top of that, they had to pay for a place to stay the night or else sleep on the streets. So this small group of women was going door to door among all the churches in San Jose, looking for a church that would allow them to spend the night once a week in their sanctuary. But again and again, these women were turned away. Churches didn't want to take the risk of having HIV-positive strangers sleeping in their sacred space. Finally, the women knocked on the door of the Episcopal Church of the Ascension, and this church welcomed them in through their doors and gave them a place to stay the night. That would be a pretty great story in and of itself, but the best part is that it doesn't stop there. These women became a part of the Ascension Church family. The people of that congregation didn't just think of these women as a good deed or an outreach project. They welcomed them as equals and friends. They befriended them, and many of the women actually joined the church. And today, some of those women are even on the vestry. Together, these women and the people of Ascension Church grew this ministry to people who were suffering from HIV and AIDS. They started reaching out to other people in the area who needed help accessing medical care. These original eight women began to educate their fellow HIV patients on how to care for themselves with this complicated and serious illness, which is tricky and difficult to manage even with medication. What started with eight women is now a nonprofit network of over 250 members who are trained to train and educate their peers and how to properly care for their illness and take their medicine correctly. They are even funded now by a grant from the World Bank. All of this started with a few people reaching out and being welcomed not as strangers, but as family. This is what can happen when we remember that we belong to one another. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus' family comes to get him and bring him home. The crowd tells Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And Jesus replies, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my brothers and my mother. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." In these powerful words, Jesus redefines what it means to be family. No longer is family defined by blood or lineage. For followers of Jesus, your family is whoever is sitting next to you. The theological word for this concept is kinship. We are called to be in kinship with all those who surround us. The word kin, of course, means family. We don't use that word as much anymore, but it's a good word. The words kin and kindness share the same root. To be kind to someone is to treat them like they are your kin. Christian community is so countercultural and radical because we believe that we are called to treat everyone like they are our kin, to embrace every person like they're our own flesh and blood, and not to see anyone as separate or strange or standing outside of the circle. Over and over again, Jesus's message is clear. There is no us and them. There is only us. Every time human beings try to draw a line in the sand to categorize who is in and who is out, Jesus blows those categories apart. No more Jews versus Gentiles. No more Israelites versus Samaritans. No men versus women. No impure versus pure. No righteous versus sinners. No others. Just us. That is what Jesus means when he prays for his disciples that God would make them one, that they all might be one. The story I told about the women in the church who started the ministry to people with HIV is full of this idea of kinship. First, the people of Ascension Church understood what Jesus was talking about when he redefined family as the person who's right in front of you. They could have seen these women as different, as other, even as dangerous. But instead, they greeted them as equals and as friends and invited them into the leadership of their church. Second, those women saw not just one another, but all of their neighbors as their kin, as their family. And so they worked to extend their caring ministry out of their little circle into all of Costa Rica and eventually all of Central America. We have much to learn from their example.
How amazing would it be if we were not only a strong church family within these walls, but if we saw all of Seguin as our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers? What if we claimed all the children of Seguin as our own? If we understood that the kids who go to Seguin youth services are just as much our kids as are the ones who were born and baptized here at St. Andrew's? What if we greeted people who looked different from us like they were friends and colleagues and not others, but us? Often the only time we really encounter people who are truly living different lives than we are is when we're doing outreach, and that is great. But what if we didn't stop there? What if we sought not just to serve the poor and marginalized of Seguin, but to become friends with them, to sit beside them in church, to become brothers and sisters in Christ and minister together out in the community? A woman named Pema Chodron is a famous Buddhist nun and author. She writes, "The true measure of compassion lies not in our service to those on the margin, but our willingness to see ourselves in kinship with them." Kinship is the goal. If we start there, everything else falls into place. So this summer, let's invest in relationships. Reach out to one another. Have someone new over to your house for dinner. When you meet someone, invite them to come sit in church with you and go out to lunch afterwards. And when you're tempted, as we all will be, to relegate someone to that category of other, maybe because they're on the other side of the political spectrum, I'm conservative, they're liberal, maybe because they speak a different language than we do, or they live on a different side of town. Whenever we are tempted to draw that line between ourselves and other people, let's remember, know them, just us. These are my mother and sisters and brothers. Amen.